This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN's Adam Schefter is brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Coleman. It's electric. Adam Schefter, how are we doing today?
Gentlemen, what is going on today?
You tell us, man. You're the guy with the stories. That was, as you know, obviously, we saw you correcting the record on Twitter. A viral piece of content with you on a podcast has been going around about the strangest place that you've ever broken a story. We found out it was post-coitus. Now, the big question that I have about this, Schefter, and we will get to NFL questions maybe if we have time at the end of all of this once I'm done with my line of questioning, is did you get the scoop in the middle of the act and then tweeted it afterwards, or was it all after the fact?
Well, first of all, I am completely shocked that this has taken on the life that it has. Like, I believe all day long I've been responding to texts about this, including one of my wife this afternoon. My wife didn't appreciate the story as much as other people. I should point that out.
Strangest thing.
Some people enjoyed it. Some people enjoyed it. My wife, not as much. Not as much. You know, again, I don't know what to say. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Well, I was just interested in the timeline because it's like that's obviously a great story.
I said what I said, right?
Yes. Yep. So let me take it in a little different direction. Is there an Adam Schefter book to be written about these types of things? Maybe not this specific detail, just the stories that you have to tell over the years of just crazy places, crazy things, and all of that. Is that in the offing?
Well, not to rat anybody out, but like even afterwards, Jay Glazer was texting me about a time that he broke a story and the details that was going on with that, and I'll let him share his story. But it involved a model and a big story.
Nice.
And so, you know, look, I always say this, and it's really true, whether it's talking about this or anything else. Coaches remember plays of games, all the details surrounding a play, the play call, how much time's left, and reporters remember stories. And I can tell you the story behind almost every story, because there's always a story behind the story. It's never just something that's simple. There's always a story behind the story, and maybe that is a book one day, the story behind the story. It would be interesting to see some of the things that have happened over time with various stories, including this particular one that I talked about on Kevin Clark's show, which, again, I didn't realize would captivate the country and go viral the way it did, but it did. Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. The stories behind the stories are more interesting than the stories themselves.
So just to maybe close this up, do you have a nice couch and will you be sleeping on it?
I got a great couch in my office, my home office, and it's looking very cozy.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to do it. And by the way, I think the reason why this went so viral, Adam, is because people think of you almost as not even like a guy. Like,
Information
robot, basically. Yeah, right. Like, people turn to you for the info. And I think at some point, like, when you are as successful as you are, it almost dehumanizes you. So this was a very human look into the world of Adam Schefter that I feel like we don't get all that often. I know you wrote a book in 2018, but in general, I feel like we don't get a lot of personal stories from Adam Schefter.
Well, I'll say this, that Newsflash again, information robots have feelings.
Very good. Now, Adam, yesterday the Bruins coach got fired, Jim Montgomery, and our own Rich Keefe ended up breaking the story right here on these airwaves. And a lot of people doubted him. And I was wondering, at what point in your career did people stop, like, doubting you? I know some people still might, but in general, you're looked at as the standard bearer of all the scoops, and you're not wrong, and this is, you know, you're the guy that people look to. When do you think you kind of crossed over into that status?
I have no clue. I appreciate the kind words. That's very nice of you to say. I know that I've enjoyed over time the number of instances when I would report something and people would say something and doubt it, and then it turned out to be right. Like that, that's always, you know, it's like an athlete being called out. You know, he can't do it, or he's not going to be picked high, or can't get the job done, or he's not good enough to start. Or it's the same thing. Like, again, we're human beings. And so there have been enough instances over time, which I'll save for the book, The Stories Behind the Stories, because there are enough of those that I could think of right off the top of my head. And you remember those things too. And so, that's the deal. Like, anybody in any line of work that is called out, challenged, always wants to perform at an optimal level. And information robots are no different.
So let's get to the here and the now and some information you might have. What is going to happen with the Cincinnati Bengals wide receivers? Because here in New England, we've been talking about T. Higgins as a possible option for seems like a year and a half now. So how do you think, because Ja'Marr Chase also seems a little annoyed at times, how do you think things play out in Cincy with those two guys?
It's pretty simple. T. Higgins is a free agent. He gets to walk away from Cincinnati after the season. They can't tag him. They can't afford to tag him. So he gets to hit the free agent market and become an incredibly high-paid receiver. And if New England wants him, I think New England will have a real chance to get him. All you have to do, very simple, write a check. Write a big check. And T. Higgins is going to, I believe, break the bank in free agency. He's going to crush it as a wide receiver. He might be the top free agent out there this upcoming winter. There are enough teams that need wide receivers, and somebody's going to pay him, and somebody's going to pay him a lot of money.
Well, I hope it's the Patriots. It seems like in the AFC East, Adam, that the Jets are just having a full factory reset right now. Woody Johnson is just going completely rogue. Is there a possibility that maybe some of those players, if they go the full, you know, full enema over there, is there a possibility maybe some of those guys could shake loose?
Well, who do you want there?
Garrett Wilson.
I want Garrett Wilson.
The issue with that would be that they're not cutting Garrett Wilson. That Garrett Wilson would be traded.
Right.
And in the event that the Jets ultimately decided that they wanted to trade one of the best young wide receivers in football, my guess would be that they're not going to trade him in the division. It's one thing to decide you're going to trade him, which is hard to imagine, but it's even more incomprehensible that they would think of trading him within the division. So I would not expect that to happen. I think the Patriots would have much better chances at writing a check to T. Higgins than to hold out hope of trading for Garrett Wilson.
Adam, I think last week we asked you about Bill Belichick, and you said you think there's going to be 8-9 jobs available, that he's going to have potentially a pick of his jobs. Is there a chance that he could be competing with one Deion Sanders for a Cowboys opening? That's a headline I think I saw actually on your own network television this morning.
Well, yeah, listen, I think Bill's going to be in demand, and I think Bill's going to be selective, and I think there'll be people that are interested in Deion, and Deion's not going to go for just any job either. So if it just so happens that they're both up for the Cowboys job, I mean that's not far-fetched to imagine that possibility. Like I said, I don't think if there are 7, 8, 9 openings, which I would expect somewhere between 7 and 9, I think Bill would be in play for any number of them, but I think Bill probably would only choose a couple of them or be willing to go to a couple of them. And same thing with Deion Sanders. So I think people are going to be a little bit careful and selective of where they wind up. And by the way, you don't have to take a job either. If it's not right, there's nothing forcing you to go take a job.
Sure. Adam, before we let you go here, there were reports this week that the Crafts, were looking for help to try and develop Drake May, maybe looking outside of the organization. Did you hear anything about that? And what's your general thought on ownership getting involved in something like that? Is there a possibility it could undermine the coaches who are here now?
Well, I've not heard that. I don't know whether there's any validity to that. I think that the Patriots have a tremendous asset on their hands, and it's up to them, however they decide, to surround him with the best players, coaching, talent, whatever it may be. He is their most important asset right now. The future rests with Drake May. So however they feel and however they deem it appropriate to develop Drake May into the top quarterback that he has the chance to become, you do that. Whatever that means, that's up for them to decide.
All right, well, then we'll leave it right there. Adam Schefter, thanks so much for the time today. Thanks so much for sharing your story, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Guys, have a great week. We'll talk next Wednesday.
All right,
good luck
good.
On the couch.
That is Adam Schefter live from the couch, where he may be for a little while after being in the doghouse with a truly tremendous story that he told on that on that other podcast. That was Bruins general manager Don Sweeney speaking earlier today in his press conference. Bruins had to push their practice back a little bit, all because of Scoops Keefe. Scoops Keefe, a force of nature. As the Bruins practice for the first time, as Joe Sacco is the head coach, Sweeney addressing the media, saying that it all rests with him now. I think it's partially true. Rests with the players, too. And Keefe had another scoop-ish, I guess, saying that the next step here is that they're going to change the roster if things don't improve. And when you talk about things improving, I think that there's sort of two edges to that coin, too, or two sides to that coin. I was about to say two edges to the sword, but two sides to that coin, too. Because if things do suddenly start getting better, then all of this stuff about how much they love Monty and how they let Monty down and blah, 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 that all kind of flies out the window, doesn't it? I mean, you're the same team, mostly the same team as last year with a couple of additions, and you couldn't get out of your own way. Like, really, you couldn't do anything right. You couldn't score. You couldn't score on the power play. Your penalty kill was bad. Special teams were bad in general. Defensive zone play was bottom of the barrel, and the goaltending's been about as bad as there is in the league right now. You're at the bottom of so many stats, or at least in the bottom end of all these league-wide stats, that you just sort of you think, like, all right, well, you come back out and you win five in a row or whatever happens with Joe Sacco, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it does, where was this? Where was this with Monty? What was the problem with him?
Well, some of it, I think you could just, if that happens, you could just chalk up to human nature, complacency, comfort, whatever, right? Like, everybody says once you get too comfortable in anything, that probably means you've peaked or you've topped out or whatever. An example I would use, I always go back to it, but Tom Brady jump-started the Patriots.
Yep.
I don't believe players hated Drew Bledsoe or didn't like Drew or weren't playing hard
they love
for
Drew.
Right.
Yeah, they love Drew Bledsoe.
But everything got better when Brady played.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the coaching was the same, right? Like, and obviously he made different plays, but there was talk then of just things felt different. They had grown complacent. They had grown, oh, we'll just let Drew make throws. Like, we'll just let Drew hit. You know what I mean? There was like a reliance on Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can happen with a coach. You can like a coach. You can still also be tuning him out, right? Like, because you've heard him say the same thing for 2+ years, you can tune him out. It's why some of these coaches in various sports say you lose X percent of the locker room each year or whatever, just because that whatever. People change. They have issues at home. They look at you differently. Hierarchies change within teams. For a million reasons, I think you could honestly like Montgomery and honestly get a wake-up call when he's gone and play differently. Like, I don't think some people will probably receive it. If they go on a 5 or 6 game winning streak right here, receive it as some sort of, like,
Monty was the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
And he may be.
That's how I'll look at it. I mean, you know, say it. I like him, but I think that's how you have to look at it.
Could he be the problem without being disliked?
Yes.
And that's...
Yes.
I feel
you can
like
be too much of a player's coach sometimes.
That's what I think is happening. I think they grew too comfortable.
Pete Carroll.
Like, I keep going back to, you showed up out of shape. That's disrespectful. You knew your coach didn't have a contract. So, like, that's a step towards running him out of town. That's being disrespectful on a big level, but also on a micro level. He's looking for a contract.
Mm-hmm.
The first few games of the season are being used as some measuring stick for his value. And you show up out of shape?
Yeah.
That's a bad look.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think at this point, we'll see what happens. If they turn it around, then all bets are off. If they don't, it's time to start really looking at this franchise organization in general. And I opened the show sort of talking about this. This is a team that has historically been very pleased with itself, no matter what kind of failure they've had at the end of the season, no matter how bad they've been let down. They come back the next year, they run it back, they got their old players up there in positions of power in the front office. They keep guys around, nobody ever leaves. You know, you got Bergeron and Tuca now, they're on the Nesson broadcast with Razor, and it just seems like there's this ecosystem that is generally reserved for the dynasties of the world, you know, like the Blackhawks even, and some of these other teams that have really had great runs and won multiple Stanley Cups and just, you know, multiple MVPs and guys like that. Like, I understand when teams do it under those circumstances. The Bruins are doing it having won one Stanley Cup 13 years ago. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe this is the opportunity to break away from that and start fresh. And it's not going to happen this year, obviously. Joe Sacco is another one of those guys. He's been on the bench for 12 years, so it's not going to be him. But when you get to this offseason and you have a chance to really reset things, and I'm also assuming that Keefe was right and that they are going to make changes, maybe wholesale changes, to this roster. Now, there's guys with no movement clauses, and you're not going to just easily move on from them or anything. But when it comes, you know what I mean? Like, it's very insular, almost kind of incestuous. There's always been this kind of idea, we're the Boston Bruins, and we're going to keep it all in-house, and we're going to make sure that everybody that we have here working on this team is someone that we know. It's kind of like the Patriots this year, but to a lesser extent, because the Patriots had 20 years of success. But with the Bruins, they had 1 year of success, and a bunch of other years where they flamed out in the first round, or they got beat by the Blues in the finals, or whatever it is. You know, like, I think that for the Bruins, there were a lot of windows that closed for Chara to Bergeron, Krejci, etc. And now that they're all closed, for the most part, Marchand's still playing, but most of them are closed. And I wonder if now is the time to sort of restart. You don't want to hear that, and I know the Jacobs certainly don't want to hear that, because they're all about getting to the playoffs. And really, that's all they're all about, is just, you know, make sure you're competitive and people want to come and watch this team in the regular season. Let's get at least one or two rounds out of the playoffs, and then we'll all call it a day. If we don't win, we don't win. Big deal. And I think that there's a chance to break out of that cycle. It's not going to be pretty, and I think that Bruins fans have sort of grown accustomed to seeing a certain product every year, but you're not seeing it this year, and that's why the coach got fired. And I wonder if this is going to be a full factory reset or not.
And you're not a playoff team right now.
Right.
Despite what McAvoy said, you're not a playoff team.
Nope.
You are close.
You have the same amount of points as the Islanders, but you're not. That's true.
You're not a playoff team, and I just looked it up. Seven times since 67, they've missed the playoffs. Seven times.
Wow.
That's it.
Damn.
And I think that's what opens eyes, because I think you're right. I think to some degree this happened in Foxborough. You bring up the Patriots. When you're winning, competing, like, there's just this presumption and assumption of who we are, what we do, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to some people down there after Bill was let go and they were transitioning to Mayo, it was like people didn't necessarily look at things with eyes wide open.
Yeah.
And how far the organization had fallen behind in some areas, because Bill's still there. Bill will fix it. Bill runs all. And I think it's the same with the Bruins. You can be as angry as you want, but if you make the playoffs, it's like, well, we made the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're
Whereas
a good team. Right.
Right now, you're not a playoff team. And if you miss the playoffs, that's where I think that matters as much as almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a little bump here, and Sweeney apparently thinks a bump is automatic here. I don't know if that's true or not, if you automatically get a bump just because you bump Sacco up. But if you miss the playoffs, I think that's where those hard conversations are had at the end of the year. The looks are a little closer, because I think that's what matters. Like, I joked about the Nesson apps.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're losing some. You have to.
I'd imagine, yeah.
I don't know how you can really say, this is worth $30 a month for me to watch these games. It's unwatchable.
Yeah.
So if you're losing some of those,
you cancel and you start back up in the Red Sox season.
Absolutely.
And then you cancel that in August when they fall apart.
Absolutely.
Too. Right. Same thing.
But if those numbers
vicious cycle
start to cross Jacob's desk, and then they don't make the postseason, so therefore you lose out on the gate of a postseason. And as you said, they've seemed fine losing postseason series.
Yeah.
I don't think they're fine missing postseason.
They're not.
And they haven't done it very often over the last four decades. If that happens, I think that would be the impetus for wholesale changes.
Yeah. Before we get to Behind the Glass, let's take a call or two. Adam's in Lowell. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. At the game Monday. They're really lacking physicality, speed, and they really need to be on a unit, and that's one thing I changed. And I also say, why didn't Cam Neely come behind that bench and light a little fire, you know, and finish the season with Neely behind the bench? I'll leave you boys with that. Take care.
All right. Thanks for the call, Adam. That's sort of exactly what I was talking about. You know, that Cam Neely's going to come down and be the coach now? Like, come on.
No, silly. It's Bergeron.
Yeah, right. Patrice Bergeron's going to be the coach. Dave is in Natick. Go ahead, Dave.
Dave!
Oh, Dave.
You're going left or right?
All right, bye, Dave. Let's go behind the glass with Stiz.
I said,
Dave,
let's.
Stiz, is anyone listening?
Nope. Pretty much no. All right, here we go. Big Mike is in the room right now as we go behind the glass. It is a What If Wednesday.
That's right. What If Wednesday.
And we are picking our What Ifs. Andy's got his. Thank you, Mike.
So whoever goes first, the other person, don't open it up until it's your turn to
okay,
go.
Okay, well, he's already opened his, so
of course he did. It's right. Like a child.
I know. He's like, ooh.
I take that as a compliment.
Same
I'm youthful.
Same size.
I do not take that as a compliment.
It was not. What do you got there?
What if Robert Kraft let Bill coach the Pats until he was ready to retire? Is this Stiz's handwriting?
No.
Well, if he had kept Bill around this year, I think you don't have Drake May. I think that there would have been some sort of compromise at quarterback, maybe some veteran free agent or something, or maybe even someone like, you know, bringing back a Jarrett Stidham type or a guy like that. I hate
Jimmy.
Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah. I mean, someone, it would probably have to be someone that Bill was familiar with.
Of course.
You know, like, I know he brought in Cam Newton, but that was at the very end. I think that he would have continued to show, I don't know, contempt, but maybe not the right word, but lack of attention to the offense. I'm not sure what would have happened with the offense and who the offensive coordinator would have been this year. O'Brien still, I think, would have gone to BC. And I think that in general, it would have been a miserable season. I think that if he was still the coach here, you would be looking at a long, slow trudge to 18 game, whatever wins he needs to pass Don Shula. And I think that would have really, in some ways, I know there's still a lot of Belichick loyalists like Stiz back there, but there were a lot of people who were all done with him too. And I think that would have hurt ticket sales. I think that in general, people would have been kind of over the idea of making Sunday's appointment watching, especially if you passed on the potential franchise quarterback. That's a big reason why you're getting people in those seats.
Yep.
You know, if you didn't have Drake May here and it was just Brissett all season long, let's assume Belichick has Brissett as the starting quarterback and that's who he decides to play all year long with someone like Stidham or whatever as a backup. People would stop coming to Gillette. I mean, I think it would. I could get to that point. And listen, the defense, the run defense would probably be a little better. You might steal a game or two because of that. But I think you're talking single-digit wins on the low end and a long trudge to that record, which, I mean, it might take them 4 or 5 years to get to. So we're talking about a 77-year-old head coach finally being able to celebrate that he beat Don Shula after several seasons of sucking. I mean, yeah, it's basically it. You get some high draft picks, I guess, and maybe that would turn things around. But yeah, in general, I think for this year, it would have been awful. It would have been awful if Bill was there.
Can you guys remind someone like me again why you guys are both so confident that Bill would never take Drake May?
Because he said that he didn't like Drake May.
Yeah. He said that
in
he
the
just
draft,
wasn't, like
he,
gushing over.
He didn't like anything about him.
He didn't like call him the next Tom Brady.
No, he didn't like anything about
him. He said he didn't like
he
his game.
Him.
He ripped him pretty
he
hard.
He critiqued
yeah.
like missed throws.
The pick,
like,
yeah.
You got to make the throw here. It's not going to get more open than this in the NFL. And you didn't make this throw. He was shredding him. I would say one word if Bill had stuck around, and it was the same word I used Friday night around midnight. Sad. I think it would have been a sad petering out of his career, because if you remember, it's not just winning and losing. He started to do and say dumb things. Like the whole comment about why fans should get excited or whatever, or have faith in you, I don't know, the last 25 years, like he started touting his own resume. He started doing things that Bill Belichick, the real Bill Belichick, would never have
done.
Yes.
That stuff, yeah.
All of that
Agreed.
Stuff started to creep up. So his draft picks were bad. His results on the field were bad. The things he was saying in press conferences were growing dumber. Some of the dumbest things he said were in the last couple of years. The roster of coaches and people he surrounded himself with was bad. It would have been a sad finish. They ripped the Band-Aid off. You're right. It would have been three or four wins a year until we achieve 18 or whatever the hell he needed.
Yeah.
That would have been the saddest thing. It would have been like Tyson, keep fighting.
Yeah.
Tyson having a rematch in 6 months.
There, right.
Like, no.
Like you have a gambling debt or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Awful.
Like, something like
would
that.
Would have been sad.
This is what he said. Just as you asked, because you asked, here's what he said about Drake May.
I got the audio if you want, but if you
Well, if you already have it, I was only going to read it for you. Because
you're the only one who needed to hear it. You're the only one who needs to be taught a lesson.
Let's all hear what he started out with.
Okay.
Again, a very talented kid.
Very talented, he said.
Wait, okay, you want to play the rest of it or what?
No, I don't.
He said, I think his inexperience showed up in the preseason as it did at North Carolina. I think he needs a lot of seasoning in terms of reading coverage, overall throwing mechanics, and consistency. Is he a big, fast athlete? Yeah. But I think it's going to take more than that to be ready to play quarterback in the NFL. Come on. That's not a guy who's going to draft.
No.
He never drafts guys like that. Come on.
Good size, runs well.
All right.
He would have traded down and taken a lineman or something. It would have been not fun, and we would have ripped it.
Okay. Andy Hart. What if?
Can I answer this one? Like, is this going to be one I can actually answer? Not like last week when it was about
the
rap game or something.
It was about Tupac and Biggie. It wasn't like some obscure rappers or anything. Andy Hart, what if social media was never invented?
Oh my God, my life would be so much better. Oh, everyone would be so much better off. You wouldn't live in a world where every stinking person is just staring at their stupid screen. I've said it for years. If you ever gave me the Thanos power to snap my fingers and do anything, I'd get rid of these stupid smartphones with social media on them that I have to look. You go to dinner with your frickin' family and everybody's on their phone. You look around the restaurant. Everybody's on their phone. The world would be a better place. Mental health would be in a better place. Now, we'd be slightly less entertained.
We'd find some other thing that would mess up our mental health.
We wouldn't have got the Adam Schefter sex story today if it wasn't for social media.
Yeah, we would have. Old school. It would have been a little slower.
You would have got it 3 weeks from now.
He would have done it on a radio show somewhere. We would have heard about it. It would have bounced around or something. Life would have slowed down for the better. We don't need everything immediately at our fingertips with social media because you know what that is? That's misinformation. That's fake news. That's ruined this country politically, socially, economically, and morally.
Alternative facts.
I was in college when Facebook came out, so I was like one of the first, you know, Facebook people. It was called the Facebook back then. And it was great. At the time, it was the Facebook. And it was it's all about reconnecting with people from your past. You know, everybody signed up at the same time. You would search names of people you went to school with in like fifth grade and whatever. And all of a sudden, you had all these reconnections and everything. And it was really great. And to see what it's turned into over the last 20 years is just, I mean, it's remarkable how bad it is now.
Twitter
really,
is an absolute cesspool.
Twitter sucks.
I will say that.
The only one that was really good was MySpace. MySpace was cool. You got a song play when you popped up. You had your top eight friends.
Your top eight friends.
It was great. Yeah, y'all learned how to like write code and stuff, you know, to get to get the pictures and things. You know how my
HTML.
You know how people always say learn to code, you know, when your job's not going great? Like MySpace is the only coding I ever learned. And it was putting like Outkast songs on my MySpace profile. That's basically what it was all about. MySpace was cool. And there also wasn't, it closed down, obviously, but there wasn't like misinformation and crap all the time. Now it's just everywhere you look. Social media sucks. I agree with you. Now it's
probably hurts us too.
Yeah.
Right? It changed everything. Everybody knows everything immediately.
I know.
Like there's no real news. Like you're not waiting the next
day. It's true. But in terms of like things to listen to or to watch or whatever. There's for live radio. I mean, there's not live talk radio, breaking news and smart immediate reaction and things like that. You can watch someone's video, but there's nothing like a 4-hour show talking about, you know, like that's something very unique that they haven't quite wiped out with social media yet. You know what I mean?
No, I agree, but
we're still valuable, damn it.
Oh, I agree.
We still provide a service.
In the old days, it was like the reporters would all talk to the players on the ice.
Yeah.
You know, and then that night's news would run it, and we'd probably use that audio the next day from the nightly news kind of thing, or the stringers. Your boy, Cuddy, that you were talking about yesterday, who was wrong yesterday.
Well, apparently, I heard this from some other people. An email went out from the Bruins. Saying there's going to be practice tomorrow, Monty's going to be talking after practice, and then they fired him like 3 hours later.
I'm telling you.
So it was after the email went out. I haven't seen this email, but I've heard people talking about
it. I believe more and more that Scoops Keefe scooped everybody.
I think so.
Not just reporters. He scooped everybody.
He threw a wrench in the office.
What a reporter.
Absolutely.
Adam Schefter, Scoops Keefe. I mean, you know, basically.
Same
thing.
What did we call him? A robot? Information robot?
Information robot. And he took it as a compliment, which.
He did.
You know,
I think
that was pretty good. All right, there you go. That is today's edition of What If Wednesday.
I like it. This is a keeper.
We will come back with odds and ends. Jay Leno, friend of the station. Wild story with Jay Leno. We'll get to that next. It is.
is time for Odds and Ends, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easiest way to get rid of your old car, donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. Odds and ends today for me. I saw this on Twitter, and I couldn't believe it. Jay Leno, who was very recently on the Greg Hill show, and he was great on that show. I thought he was very, very funny. Still got it for sure. And is still going around performing. He was on tour recently, and there is a video of him wearing an eye patch with his face all busted and bruised up. And the explanation for how that happened needs to be heard to be believed. Stiz, if you could, here's Jay Leno.
What on earth happened to Jay Leno?
Oh, your poor face.
Look at my eye.
Oh my gosh.
Jay Leno is all bruised up. The left side of his face is black and blue. His eye is swollen shut. And look at his injured wrist.
I broke my wrist. Lost the nail on the finger, and then I'm all black and blue.
The comedian says he fell down a 60-foot hill.
60 feet?
Okay.
He looks bad. Like, Andy, if you haven't seen his face,
I'm looking at it right now on Twitch.
Like, the whole left side of his face is black and blue.
Almost looks fake. Almost looks like he's wearing makeup and an eye patch for a movie or a part. That looks painful.
Now, the wildest part of all of this
was post-coitus.
I don't know about that. Jay Leno, by the way, is 74 years old.
Jay Leno went up a hill.
He said that he fell 60 feet down a hill at a Hampton Inn. At a Hampton Inn. He was performing
Plot
that
twist.
Night. Jay Leno stays at the Hampton Inn. Ooh. Jay Leno has more. He could buy the franchise.
I doubt he stayed there. Probably.
Well, he was at the Hampton Inn.
No, I think there's stories. Isn't he Gronk-like? Aren't there stories about like never cashing checks or like saved all the money he ever made and only used
endorsements?
Supposedly,
he never cashed his Tonight Show checks and just lived off the road money.
So he's frugal.
Jay Leno staying at the Hampton Inn.
What's wrong with the Hampton Inn?
Nothing's wrong with the Hampton Inn.
You've never stayed at a Hampton Inn.
I definitely have. I don't have Jay Leno money. Of course, I have.
You know how you get Jay Leno money?
By having a very successful late-night talk show?
But also staying at Hampton Inns and not wasting
it. Also, Jay Leno has a car collection of, like, cars worth billions of dollars.
He's
not some frugal guy. Come on, let's stop acting like he's some penny pincher. He has garages full of old-time Bentleys and, you know, Phantoms and all this stuff. Like, he spends his money. Like, this is a false narrative that you're purporting here. He's staying at the Hampton Inn, and not just any Hampton Inn, a Hampton Inn that was near a 60-foot cliff with rocks and everything, and he fell down the cliff and broke his wrist, bashed up his face. He looks like he just fought Jake Paul. A lot of people are suggesting that maybe he got in with the mob or something. I don't know.
Where the hell did that come from? That's a leap.
He looks like he got. His ass kicked.
Was he thrown down the hill?
It looks like he got or just beat up. Right?
Or is there no hill?
Someone just beat him up. Yeah.
Or do you guys remember this famous scene from Ted?
I don't know. I got wasted last night, and my phone says I texted someone at 3:15 asking them to beat me up, and then at 4:30 I texted the same person saying thanks.
You don't remember it?
No, same as last time.
Well, do you think you?
Despite the fall, Leno performed 3 hours later. He did not cancel his stand-up shows.
That's a pro.
He then performed in Beverly Hills 2 nights ago.
You had a sore throat and you called in sick.
That's true.
Oh, Jay Leno's a workhorse.
Last year, Leno involved in a motorcycle accident that resulted in more broken bones. This looks more like a motorcycle accident or something. But, you know, the dots are starting to connect here, right?
Could there be a lawsuit?
Could be a lawsuit.
Because I got to think, if there's a 60-foot hill that you can fall down easily, I feel like there should be a fence or something.
If that's what happened.
I think he may have a gambling problem.
Oh, gambling's now involved. So it's why wouldn't he just do it legally? It's legal everywhere. Now he's involved with the mob?
Yes, because if you're gambling, if you have Jay Leno money, you don't want to get taxed on those winnings. You're talking big, big dollars.
You guys really took this in an ugly direction.
I didn't say that I thought he got. This is what people online are saying. I don't know what exactly happened, but it does seem a little odd that he was at the Hampton Inn and then fell off a 60-foot cliff and broke his wrist. Like, you know, like, that's just all seen. That's very sus, exactly. I find it all to be quite sus.
Doesn't pass?
Not necessarily, no. Anyways, get well soon, Jay Leno, as still got his tour dates. He's performing tonight, as a matter of fact, in Hermosa Beach, California, raising money for the Grossman Burn Foundation. So, still out there working, still getting it done. I can tell you this, if I fell off a 60-foot cliff and bashed up my face like that, I would probably take a day or two. I'd probably say, hey, you know what?
I'm just gonna let the painkillers do their work, and I'll be back when I'm feeling a little bit better. But not Jay Leno. So bravo to him. You got anything for odds and ends there, Andy?
Yeah, real quick shout out, showing that I am very objective and even a rival. I will note their greatness. I don't know if you often go to Sports Illustrated's High School Athlete of the Week page, where they allow
when
you
I
to
read
vote.
The magazine, I used to check that out. Yeah.
Well, number 12 this week is Justin Marks, senior running back from Fairhaven, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. They're Dartmouth High School's rival on Thanksgiving Day. We'll see him. They are in the playoffs still. They're going for back-to-back state titles. In the last most recent playoff game, he not only rushed for 184 yards, but his four touchdowns gave him 103 for his career.
Damn.
Most in the history of Massachusetts high school football. He passed a Walpole's Ryan Izzo, who set the record in 2009. So 103 touchdowns.
Ryan Izzo, is he related to?
No.
Okay.
No. No relation just another to Larry Izzo. Izzo. Just one Izzo or Izzo. But Justin Marks, Fairhaven running back, 103 career touchdowns and still going. He's got a playoff game on Thanksgiving Day. Hopefully he gets, here's the shout out ends, Justin, and here's where Andy takes over. Hopefully you get zero on Thanksgiving Day to add to your total against Dartmouth.
All
but
right.
Congrats on the performance.
Are they going to repeat anything?
They got a good shot. They got a great offensive line, and he is, you think Derrick Henry's a workhorse? You've never seen a workhorse like him. Gets 35 to 45 carries a game.
Derrick Henry, Ryan Izzo.
No, Justin Marks. Ryan Izzo's the guy he broke.
Oh, Ryan Izzo broke the record. Sorry,
he's
Justin
old
Marks.
News.
Excuse
old
me.
News.
Pardon
Justin
me.
Marks
Got
is
it.
The guy we're
yep.
praising here.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate workhorse high school running back.
All right, very good. So there you are, odds and ends for the day here. Stick around. John Lyons, KJ Carson, they're coming your way next. They'll have you until 10 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock on a Tom E. Curran Thursday. I want to say thanks to Scal. I want to say thanks to Adam Schefter, Stiz, and Big Mike behind the glass. Great job as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Bye.
See you.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.